Tonight we're going to take our Bibles, please, if you would, and go to Acts chapter 9. We've been, over the last number of weeks, going through some of the records in the book of Acts. And tonight I'm going to be sharing on something that I think there's some great learning in. Let's start in Acts chapter 9, verse 1. It says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Verse 6, And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there, he was 3 days without sight. Neither did he eat nor drink, no food, no water, and he was, we'll find out, temporarily blind." You know, Saul was a pretty intense individual who had a mission to search out, find Christians, and possibly lead them towards their death, but definitely getting them into prison. And he was on this journey to the high priest to get letters of authority so that he could go into these areas and bring them bound, it says, unto Jerusalem to stand trial. And I would imagine if they stood trial that they would receive a death sentence. But as he journeyed, as you can see, you're familiar with this record, Jesus Christ appeared to Paul. And the other gentlemen were there. They heard a voice, but they didn't see any man either. And as a result of this, Paul had this issue. He couldn't see, but it says he went 3 days without sight, neither did he eat nor drink. And verse 10, "And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias? And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord." Isn't that cool? He recognized God's voice right away. Wasn't like any question doesn't appear, at least from what we see here. "And the Lord said unto him, Arise, go into a street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas where one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he does what? He prayeth. He prayeth." Now, this is quite a turnaround from the type of person that Paul had been, and then finding him in this place where he can't see, he's gone without food and water, and he's in this place praying. And as a result, he's seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him and that he might receive his sight. And I think this response of Ananias is just so, common to man. Human. Because Ananias answered, verse 13, "Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name." Kind of asking God a pretty particular question, making a statement here. It's like, I'm not so sure about this. I've heard a lot about this gentleman. He's got quite a reputation. And here's God calling on Ananias to go into this place, and into a stranger's home, basically. And well, look at verse 15. "Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." Verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, "Brother," I don't know what this meeting must have been like. Must have been pretty interesting. They leave out a lot of the details, it would appear here. But the revelation is very clear. Does it say that Ananias received this vision at night? No, it doesn't say. So he gets this vision, and verse 17 says Ananias went his way. You know, he must have had a willing heart, right? He had the desire to follow through on what God was telling him to do, regardless of what he previously had thought or heard. So he had a choice to make. And Ananias, verse 17, went his way, entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, "Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose, and he was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened, and then saw certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And verse 20, amazing turnaround in this gentleman's life. This is like a period of, 4 days? And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. I mean, people were probably really scratching their heads, you know. I mean, at one point in time they see Saul as the guy who's really got persecution thing going against Christians. And then, you know, he has this experience, and it says, verse 21, "But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent? He came here for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests." But Saul, verse 22, increased the more in strength, confounding the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that, many days were fulfilled, and the Jews took counsel to do what? Now they want to kill the guy who was working on their behalf. But I want to go back a little bit and talk about something that happened, I think, with Ananias. I think there's a great lesson to be learned here. And so there's a lot of titles to this. It doesn't really matter what the title is, because I'm going to ask you a couple of questions here, and one of them is, where's your head at? Remember that old thing we would talk? Maybe that was a 70s, 80s term. You know, where's your head at, man? What's going on up there? But also I thought about a willing and a winning attitude. Because, you know, Ananias was put in a pretty interesting situation. I mean, we obviously don't have all the details. But I'd just like to ask you, how are you seeing yourself at this moment, right now? This very moment, how are you seeing yourself? How do you feel about yourself? How about your life? How are you perceiving the things that are going on in your life at this moment? You know, in all honesty, I would pray that you're reasonably fulfilled and satisfied as God's chosen and righteous child. And in all honesty, I pray you're seeing your life as productive and moving forward with an expectation of success. However, many times these are not the thoughts we carry consistently. We live in a world that is constantly trying to throw negative things at us about ourselves, our past, others, what others say about us, a wide variety of other things. And so it becomes a challenge to replace that type of thinking and feelings and emotions with what the truth of the word said. I'm going to make this statement that I think Ananias was in a similar place. Boy, you know, maybe his heart rate went up a little bit. He's like, "Whoa, you sure you got the right guy here?" This Paul has quite a reputation. But you know what? We're challenged to change our thinking, which in turn, it adjusts our attitude, our mindset. We're challenged to change our minds at times. This is, I think, what Ananias had to go through. And it's certainly the transformation that Saul ended up having to go through. because he had a whole different itinerary in mind, a whole different agenda. Then he has this experience. His whole life changed as a result of that one experience. And we can read throughout the rest of Paul's life, all the things he wrote, all the things that people spoke of him, who he became to be, and what he did as a result of this one experience that he had on the road to Damascus. You know, sometimes we would call the way we think our stinking thinking. You know, we got thoughts that aren't so good. We got feelings we dwell on that aren't so good. We have emotions we dwell on that are not so good. We have thoughts of our past that maybe, you know, bring up all sorts of things. But we want to be able to and be challenged to change our thinking to a renewed mind state, to a renewed mind attitude, which leads to way more productive behavior. You know, our thoughts, we're in control of. And for many of us, we learned that for the first time many years ago, or recently maybe for some of us, that we're in control of our thoughts. Thoughts just don't wander, well, maybe they do wander into our minds on occasion, but we are the ones who choose whether to hold on to those thoughts or not. And, you know, I think we've learned over the years that what you think about is what settles down into your heart, and out of the heart proceed the what? The issues of life. You know, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? So, we have thoughts that we now can filter through the greatness of the Word, which then helps our attitude. And attitude then lends itself to behavior. Thoughts, attitude, and behavior. And attitude has been described as a settled way of thinking or a feeling about someone or something. So, you know, the natural man thought about something or someone may not be in alignment and agreement with what God's word is and God's perspective on it. So, is it something that is wrong with God when things don't work out, let's say, in a relationship? You know, maybe it has to do with our way of thinking, our attitude towards the situation. Maybe we get a hardened attitude, and then our behavior becomes less than productive. But you know what? I know our attitude can change because I know we can change our thoughts. You know, in Philippians 4:8, it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think about and on these things. So, whose responsibility is it to change their thinking? And to have the thoughts of the Word, and to recognize thoughts that run contrary to the truth of the Word, or emotions that are contrary to the truth of the Word. Our emotions, unlike worldly training, are not the things that are to control our behavior. Our feelings are not what controls how we act. The world, probably yes. People feel a certain way, they're going to act a certain way. They think a certain way, then they develop a certain attitude about a particular thing, and then they're going to believe a certain thing. They're going to have behavior that substantiates how they think. You know, this verse here in Philippians chapter 4, it's a good practice. You know, kind of comes in the context of being anxious for nothing, letting the peace of God rule in your hearts. But whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, if there be any virtue, any praise, think on these things. And I'll tell you, sometimes that's going to take some work. That's going to take adjusting your stinking thinking from maybe the way you really want to think to how things are really need to be looked at in that perspective. You know, years ago we heard a statement that says your attitude towards God, the things of God and His Word are going to all be major determining factors on your spirituality and what kind of impact you are having on a day-by-day basis. Your attitude towards God, the things of God and His Word will be a major determining factor on your spirituality and what kind of impact you're having. You know, as a believer, you get born again, you get into the things of the Word. You know, you don't have automatic immunization. There's no vaccine against bad thinking, stinking thinking, bad attitudes, and things that are not producing good fruit in a person's life. And actually, the vaccine hasn't protected other people from having other types of diseases along the way either. But we have the greatness of God's Word. We have the armor of God. We have the encouragement and the comfort of others that can continue to help us and strengthen us and remind us, you know, not to just see the glass full, not to see the glass half empty, but to see the glass overflowing, to have that attitude of heart and mind that brings success, so that when we get in a situation where God gives us a vision and He's telling us to do something, we won't be, you know, in a place where we'll really be thinking less of ourselves, you know, and carry this unworthiness into the situation. We're going to close in Philippians chapter 2, because this is where my head's at. This is where all of our heads are at, I guess, in a doctrinal way, spiritually. But, you know, the truth is not in doctrine. The truth is in what the relationship is producing on a day-by-day basis. We have the mind of Christ, according to the Bible. Well, Barney, I don't feel like I have the mind of, well, again, our emotions, our feelings, and what I think, and even my opinions, don't really amount to a whole lot once I take them against the standard and the integrity of God's Word. That is the ultimate authority. The written Word, and in practical life situations, as we go into God and asking Him questions, He's going to speak to us. He's going to work with us. We're going to be the Ananiases of today's life, today's world. I mean, Wally had a great testimony there about being in a situation and the practical working of the Spirit of God within his life and the type of fruit it brought forth. I was so blessed to hear that. That is just so great. Judy Hunt shared some wonderful testimonies last night about very similar things. Yeah, let's let our life tell the story. Let's be living epistles. Let's be the witnesses of the goodness of God because of the greatness of the things that the Spirit is working on our behalf. We take our hands off it, and God goes to work. See, it's just so beautiful. Well, Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, he says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the thing of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You know what that tells me without telling me? We have the availability to have the mind of Christ. Why else would God say, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, if it wasn't available? It is available. And as we walk and as we have the authority of the name of Jesus Christ, as we are in life's practical situations, we can move forward with a great, great attitude of heart. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. So cool, man. You guys will enjoy this.
lightning and thunder can never drag you under. I should change your mind and never look behind. Your life will be better. You can dance in stormy weather to the music of life's treasure. Of life, and you can set the stage. By your believing, pure love you'll be receiving. It's written in the Bible, page by page.
As the rain falls from the sky, you can wash away your pride.
Father, thank you that we can cultivate an attitude of heart. We can control our thinking, Father, to say what your word says, to filter the things of you, your great love, the truths of what you've done, the truths of what Jesus has accomplished in our behalf, and have that perspective of how you see us, Father, through the eyes and the mind of Christ within. Thank you for the great, great joy and privilege we have of being to live another day, Father, in your grace and in your mercy. And we pray in Jesus Christ's perfect name, amen.